This is the Brexit Podcast, the show where we try to make sense of the nonsense that is Brexit. I'm your host, Jennifer Han, and today we've brought on Robin Munro, a senior researcher and manager of the Brexit program at the independent charity Institute for Government. Using her considerable expertise, she explains some terms that have been propping up a lot in the media coverage recently, such as hard and soft Brexit and the Great Repeal Bill. If you want to level up your intellectual dinner party chat, you better stay tuned because we cover all the most recent and essential developments. If you have a spare second, we would really appreciate it if you could rate our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. And while you're there, you might as well subscribe so you get all our upcoming episodes sent straight to your phone. You can also find us at brexitpodcast.com and on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Brexit Podcast. Hi, Robin. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. And to start off with, I would really love it if you could just explain what the Institute of Government is and what you do there.
Okay, so the Institute for Government is a non-partisan think tank. We work with all parties of government and outside of government, as well as with the civil service and different governments within the UK, including local government. Our kind of overarching mission is to make government more effective, and we do that not so much by looking at specific policy areas, but we're looking at the processes that sit behind government. So we've done a lot of work in the past on things like policy making, on how Parliament and government work together, and how Whitehall departments transform themselves to kind of meet new challenges and get in the staff that they need.
And what is your job within that?
So I'm a senior researcher at the Institute, and that means that I lead research projects. So the project I'm leading at the moment is on Brexit. So it's about how Whitehall is preparing to deal with Brexit, how it needs to prepare both the UK's negotiating position, but also how it can prepare to run the negotiations with the EU and with other organisations like the World Trade Organization, and then finally how it needs to implement the final deal. So whatever our new relationship with the EU looks like, how does UK government kind of prepare for and implement that?
Perfect. So you're basically in the ideal position to get our listeners some clarity on the recent developments. Which brings me right to the topic, actually. I've been hearing a lot personally, and I think the listeners have as well, about sort of a hard and soft Brexit dichotomy, with Theresa May ruling out a soft Brexit and then EU heads of state opposing this approach. Can you explain sort of in layman's terms what the difference is and what it means?
Okay, so the first thing to say is that hard Brexit and soft Brexit are not really that helpful as terms. And that's partly because there aren't just two different options for Brexit. So there are lots of different ways in which we could continue to work with the EU and continue to be involved in the single market. So there's not just like a hard option and a soft option. And also because when people talk about hard Brexit and soft Brexit, they're usually making a distinction about only two aspects of our relationship with the EU. So how we trade with the EU, with the single market, and how much we have to accept freedom of movement of people. And actually, those two aspects are very important, but there are lots of other aspects that affect our relationship with the EU. So it's things like how we deal with the EU on security, how we deal with the EU in terms of sharing research funding. But I'm happy to talk through what people say, what people mean when they say hard Brexit and soft Brexit.
That would be amazing.
Great.
Yeah.
So in terms of soft Brexit, remember when I said that the two key aspects that people are usually thinking about when they talk about a hard Brexit or a soft Brexit are our relationship with the EU in terms of trade and our relationship in terms of free movement or immigration. So a soft Brexit would usually mean continuing to have a relationship with the EU that looks like what we have at the moment. So at the moment, as an EU member state, we have to accept the principle of freedom of movement, which means that EU citizens of any other EU member state have the freedom to move around within the EU area, to live and to work in any other EU country. They're not subject to immigration controls. So a soft Brexit on immigration might mean that we continue to accept free movement. Similarly, a soft Brexit on the trading relationship would mean that we continue to trade with the EU and are involved in the EU institutions in the same way as we are at the moment. So, for example, the single market. As a member of the EU, we are part of the single market, so that means there's free movement of people, of goods, of services, so things like financial services, and of capital, so of money to move around. If we go for a soft Brexit, it might mean that we remain in the single market. So we still have free movement of goods and of services. We can trade very easily with other EU countries. But it would mean that EU laws and regulations still apply to us. So that's a soft Brexit. If we're talking about a hard Brexit, then it's essentially the reverse. So we would no longer have to accept freedom of movement. So we would take back control of all of our immigration policy. And a hard Brexit in terms of trade might mean that we are no longer a member of the single market, so we don't have we don't enjoy things like freedom of movement of goods and of services of and of capital. There might be some kind of barriers to how easily goods can move around between the UK and the EU. And a hard Brexit on trade might also mean that we leave what's called the EU Customs Union. So a customs union basically means that a group of countries have come together, they have established an external tariff, so any goods coming into that area from other countries have import duties levied on them. And they also mean that within a customs union, there are no import duties on goods moving around. So it's basically a way of making it, you know, removing any barriers to goods moving around within the customs union area. If we leave the customs union, then we would have to establish tariffs with the EU. So if we wanted to sell goods into the EU, they might incur tariffs or incur additional costs. And if we leave the customs union, it also means that we get back the right to make our own external trade policy. So if you're in the EU, you're not able to sign free trade agreements with other countries. You can only be part of the free trade agreements that the EU is part of. If we leave the customs union, if we do that hard Brexit on trade, then we would have the opportunity to do our own free trade agreements with places like Canada, the US, Singapore. That's okay. A very quick summary of what hard and soft Brexit mean. But as I said, you know, it's not the case that you only can choose hard or soft Brexit. You might get a deal where you have you don't accept any freedom of movement, but you do have quite a lot of access to the single market in trade and services. So it's not that helpful to think of them as two kind of polar opposites. There are lots of different options kind of on the spectrum between them.
And if I understand it correctly, I think May has been quite keen to sort of engage in informal negotiations with other heads of state to determine, you know, where both sides stand on issues like immigration or trade regulations. What would be the advantage in that? Why is she doing this?
So a lot of the media coverage is kind of refers to us as doing negotiations with the EU. And in fact, what we mean when we say the EU are different EU institutions, but also different EU member states. So in order to have kind of democratic legitimacy, the EU can't make decisions on its own. It can only do things that that the member states are happy with. So the EU's negotiating position with the UK will actually be developed by the different member states working together. So what Theresa May is trying to do is to identify what all the different member states want. So what does Germany want? What does France want? So that she can try and influence their negotiating position and therefore the EU's negotiating position. She'll also be talking to them to try and work out what kind of deal she might be able to get so that she can inform the UK's position, because obviously you don't want to go into negotiations with things that you've got no hope of getting. It could be quite beneficial to her to have a sense of what might be possible so she can steer the UK's negotiating position in that way.
Okay. And of course, she's generally sort of been turned down by all heads of state in regards to informal negotiations. How else then can she and how can Whitehall prepare for negotiations?
So a lot can be done on the domestic side by just talking to all the different interest groups who will be affected by a Brexit. So obviously the financial services and the city will be affected. Different parts of the UK will be affected in different ways. So you could be talking to local and regional government. You could be talking to the Scottish government and the Welsh and Northern Ireland governments as well. talking to civil society, talking to different charities, different sectors of industry. So there's lots that the UK can be doing before it starts formal negotiations with the EU to identify how different parts of the UK society will be affected by Brexit and therefore what its negotiating position might be.
What with almost 100 days having passed since the referendum, Theresa May announced this past Sunday at the Conservative Party conference that she'll trigger Article 50 by March 2017 and that this will involve a great repeal bill. Could you explain what that means exactly?
Okay, so the Great Repeal Bill is going to do two things. So, as is obvious by the name, it's going to repeal something. It will be repealing the 1972 European Communities Act. So that act effectively brought the UK into the EU. So it gives, it means that the UK has to abide by EU treaties. It also says that EU law has supremacy over UK law. And it also provides a legal basis in the UK for any laws that the EU passes. So what that act means effectively is that when the EU passes a directive or a piece of regulation, it either automatically applies in the UK or the UK has to pass a piece of secondary legislation to kind of give it some authority. So what the repeal bill will do is remove that act, but at the same time it will take all the pieces of legislation that are active in the UK because they've come from the EU and move them into UK law. So the alternative would have been that if you didn't enable all of that legislation and put it into UK law, lots of laws that are really integral to the way that the UK works, whether they're about immigration or financial services or about freedom of workers to move around or workers' rights, once we repealed the 1972 Act, those acts wouldn't have any meaning in law anymore. So what the repeal bill is doing is saying the EU no longer has legal supremacy over the UK, but all of the laws that have been floating around in the UK for the past 40 or more years, we're going to keep them for the moment, and then in our own time we can go through them and decide what we want to keep and what we want to get rid of. So it effectively provides a bit of certainty and stability, so everyone will know what the legal situation is and the government has a little bit more time to decide what bits of red tape and regulation it wants to get rid of.
And am I right in saying that this repeal bill needs to go through the Parliament before it comes into effect?
Yes, so as a piece of legislation that repeals an existing piece of legislation, which is the 1972 Act, it will have to go through the Houses of Parliament to be ratified.
Scotland's Brexit minister has said that the Scottish Parliament might block the bill and delay Brexit. As a fellow Scotsman, how likely do you think this is?
Well, one thing that we have called for at the Institute is more clarity on how the Scottish Government and the Scottish Parliament are going to be involved. So in the UK, if you are passing a piece of legislation in the UK Parliament, the Scottish Government does have the option to raise a legislative consent motion, which is when they say that the piece of legislation being passed by the UK Parliament affects the Scottish Government's powers, and therefore the Scottish Parliament should have a chance to decide whether it approves or rejects that piece of legislation. We don't know yet whether there will be legislative consent motions for the Great Repeal Bill. It would be very helpful if the Scottish Government and the UK Government could work together and clarify whether or not that would be the case. So at the moment, we don't know whether the Scottish Parliament and the Scottish Government will be able to delay Brexit. Theresa May has been adamant that they won't be able to, but it would be helpful to have a little bit more clarity on how that relationship is going to work.
Well, I suppose we'll have to wait and see what the future holds.
Yes, I think that's true for a lot of things around Brexit at the moment.
Yeah, that's very true. I think that's it for today. Thank you so much again for coming in, Robin. Is there anything else you'd like to get off your chest?
I don't think so. I would say that it's great that we know when Article 50 will be triggered, but there's a lot that we still don't know. And it's really important that for a decision that affects as many parts of the UK society as Brexit does, the public know how the UK government is going to reach its negotiating position and how they can feed into that. So we'd like a little bit more clarity from Theresa May on how she's going to be consulting the whole of the UK on what the final deal should look like.
Yes, I think clarity is the name of the game right now. You've hit the nail on the head. Okay, Great, Robin. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye.
I really hope you enjoyed the show, and if you did, please do feel free to subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher so you'll be notified whenever we upload a new episode and you'll be able to tune in. In the meantime, you can find us at brexitpodcast.com and on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at brexitpodcast. The show is produced by Jennifer Han, Tim Hemming, and Warren Pohl, and our theme song is Cool Vibes by Kevin MacLeod.